Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. As we continue our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, this morning we're going to join Jesus as he's with his disciples in an upstairs room somewhere in Jerusalem. He has just completed celebrating what the Jews call the Passover meal with his disciples, and he is teaching them. And specifically, he's talking with them about the reality that he is about to go away, to return to the Father. And yet, as he is going to go away to return to the Father who sent him, the Father is going to send another person to be with them, to care for them. The word that Jesus uses to give a name to this person in the Greek is the word paraclete. And the word paraclete, when translated literally, means coming alongside. So Jesus says that my Father is going to send you someone after I leave who will come alongside you. And in the understanding of this Greek word, that someone comes alongside you for a purpose, to support you in some way. Our translation this morning, as you'll see, translates this word paraclete as advocate, a particular way in which this Spirit comes alongside believers is to advocate for them. Other translations might say he is the comforter or he is the counselor. Different words to describe the kind of coming alongside that this person, who Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, will be sent by God the Father to his disciples. So I invite you to turn with me as we read these words from John chapter 14. This is part of a much longer section in the Gospel of John, of Jesus having this conversation with his disciples. Parts of this section we've been reading in our Bible reading plan. I hope that you've been following along this past week in John chapter 14 and 16. But we're just going to read a few of the verses in John chapter 14 this morning from verse 15 through verse 18. And again, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you, and later he will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus says that God, at Jesus' request, is going to give his followers another advocate. Another, someone who is going to be like he has been for his disciples. Now, how do we know that the word another means someone who is similar? Because another could be something quite different in English. Again, it helps us to know the Greek word. There are several different Greek words for the word another. The Greek word used here is the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it does mean specifically another of the same kind. Jesus says that another person of the same kind as me will come to you to be with you because I am leaving. But as I leave, as he says in verse 18, I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you without that paraclete that I have been to you. I have come alongside you for 3+ years now. I have been your advocate. I have been your teacher, your comforter, your counselor, your helper. I have been alongside you. And indeed, as you read in John 13, 14, and through chapter 16, several times, Jesus makes mention of how upset the disciples are, how much they need to be comforted. Because Jesus says, I'm leaving, and all they can think of, what's going to happen to us? I don't know quite what that would be like because I haven't lived with Jesus the way the disciples lived, but I wonder if it's anything like a child who is sat down by his or her parents and the parents say, I'm sorry, we're divorcing, and one of us will be leaving you. I've never been in that situation myself. Many of you have. I wonder if that's what the disciples were feeling on that night as Jesus says, I'm leaving. You know, we're on this side of the cross and resurrection, and we know that he was leaving for all kind of good reasons, but for the disciples, all they heard is, I'm leaving. And they were upset. They were frightened. They were sad. They didn't understand, where are you going, Jesus? How can we go there with you? You know, if you're going somewhere, well, let us come with you. No, sorry, you can't come. But how do we know the way so one day we can find you? That's where Jesus says, I am the way. But here, Jesus is telling them something critical for their understanding of who they are as followers of Jesus Christ. And it is critical to understanding as well. That although Jesus is not here as a human being, as he was with those disciples 2,000 years ago, he is here through another person who is like him. The Holy Spirit is a person, like the Father and the Son are persons. The Holy Spirit is not an idea. He's not a force. He's not a principle or a concept. He is as much a person and has as much reality as the Father and the Son. I will send you another who is like me, and he will be your advocate. He will be in you. And his responsibility, his ministry, is to continue to do in you and through you what I, Jesus, have been doing in you and through you. Indeed, the Spirit will continue my ministry in a similar way. He is another. He is different from me. Scripture teaches that God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Son and the Holy Spirit are different. They're different persons. But they have the same purpose. They have the same intentionality. They do things in the same way together with the Father. And so Jesus says, I, as a person, will no longer be here to do these things with you, my friends. But there will be another. And he will continue, as I have been with you, so now he will be with you. And these verses that we just read, these few verses, and indeed if you read through this teaching that Jesus has with the disciples, you'll see that there are many more things that he teaches about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But even in these few verses, we see several incredible things that the Holy Spirit will do as that another that Jesus sends who is like himself. One of the first things that we see in verse 16, that this another advocate will never leave you. Now, why is it important to say this one will never leave you? Because what has Jesus just said? I will leave you. So if you're a disciple, God has given you, he has sent you his son to be with you for 3 years, and then he up and leaves. All right, you're going to give us another one. How long do we get him for? Do we get a full 3 years? Right? No, Jesus says. No, he will never leave you. And where, from whose mouth, have we also heard those exact words, although spoken in the first person rather than the third person? Well, of course, it's Jesus himself. For example, the very last words that he speaks to his disciples before he ascends into heaven in the Gospel of Matthew is, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's the end, that's the last phrase in the book of Matthew. The last thing in the gospel that Jesus says, "I am with you always." And then he leaves. If not for the Holy Spirit, that would seem cruel. How are you with us? An idea, a concept, a memory? And Jesus is that for so many people. He's a memory. He's like a historical figure who lived a long time ago. And we know some of the things he says and we remember them. Maybe he's a principle, an ethical or moral principle to many people. Because he has left, he is no longer here. If it were not for the Holy Spirit. But for those who by faith trust in him, or as he says in verse 15 in the passage you just read, if we love him and obey his commandments, thus showing that we have faith in him, that we have placed our trust in him, then the Holy Spirit is within us, and guess what that another like the one himself, Jesus Christ, is doing? He is in us, therefore Christ is in us. So when Jesus says, "I will never leave you," he is not speaking hyperbolically. He is not somehow saying, "My idea will stay with you," or "My concepts will stay with you," or "My kind of my spirituality will stay with you." No, I will stay with you in the form of another person who is like me. The Spirit is in you forever, and I am in you forever. The Apostle Paul's favorite way of talking about Christians, about those who believe in Jesus Christ, is to say that we are people who are in Christ and who have Christ in us. And that is simply impossible without the Holy Spirit. But it is the Holy Spirit that accomplishes this continuing ministry of Jesus Christ. He is in us. And that means that because he is in us and will never leave us, the Son, Jesus Christ, will never leave us either. And that also means, by extension, that we never have to be concerned about somehow the Holy Spirit flitting away and then having to be asked back in. We don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit once given, that something happens and maybe the Holy Spirit gets unhappy with us and he takes a break and heads off somewhere else. The Holy Spirit is always in us. He never leaves us. Now, we can do things that frustrate the Spirit, or as Paul will say in the book of Thessalonians, that grieves the Spirit or stifles the work of the Spirit, but he doesn't leave us. He is with us. He is always available to us. He is always at work within us. I will never leave you. That's one of the things that Jesus tells us about the Spirit in these few verses. Another thing that he says that is very important, he is the Holy Spirit, verse 17, who leads into all truth. The Holy Spirit is about truth, because he continues the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is about truth. Jesus Christ came into the world to teach the truth about God and about the kingdom of God. Jesus came to teach what is real in the world, often contrasting that with what we as human beings try to create which is not real, and it will be shown to be not real because it will be done away with. Jesus Christ said that my Father is real. The world that he has created is real. The way in which the world is to work is real. It is true. And I have come to teach you the truth and to be that truth for you. Well, again, now he's leaving. But the another that he sends is, as Jesus will say in John 16, 13, for example, he calls them specifically the Spirit of Truth. It is a primary characteristic of the Holy Spirit that he brings us the truth of Jesus Christ, and he continues the truth of Jesus Christ within us. In the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no contradiction to what Jesus has been teaching and what Jesus has been doing. The Spirit does not do things differently in a way that makes us wonder, well, I wonder if the way the Spirit does it is really true as compared to the way that Jesus did it. Maybe things have changed. Maybe the Spirit has taken Jesus' truth and he's added to it. Maybe he's taken Jesus' truth and he's kind of restructured it, reworked it, reconfigured it. And Scripture says, absolutely not. He continues the truth that Jesus has brought. He is the Spirit of Truth. And therefore, we can rely upon his ministry. We don't have to look at his ministry and say, that feels different than Jesus' ministry. Maybe it's not as real. Maybe it's not as true as Jesus. You know, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not too sure about this Holy Spirit. That is misinterpreting, misunderstanding what Scripture teaches us. He's the Spirit of Truth, giving continuity to the truth of Jesus. And the primary way in which that he brings the truth of God to us is through Scripture. This is the primary communication, yes, of God, but it is mediated through the work of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit, we are told in this book, the Holy Spirit who inspired human authors to write the words that are contained in here. This is fully the work of God, just as it is fully the work of human beings. Now that might sound strange, that's hard. Well, how exactly does that work? People have asked for a long, long time. To me, that's like asking, well, how does it work that Jesus is fully human and fully divine at the same time? My answer to that question is the same as my answer to the question about how is this book fully human and fully divine? I don't know. I don't have a formula for you. I certainly know it's not a matter of percentages. It's 100% plus 100%. I know that doesn't work in math. But somehow it works in the mystery of God. If by faith you accept that Jesus Christ is fully human and fully divine, then by faith we can also accept that this book is fully the work of God through the Holy Spirit, and it is also fully the work of human authors. God bringing together his truth in such a way that it can be recorded so we as human beings can engage with it. And anyone who reads this book, this humanly authored book, and has the Holy Spirit within them to help interpret the meaning of this book so that it is true, so that we understand its truth, so that Satan himself, who's one of his primary things that he works on is to distort truth, that is in this book, so that when it enters into the heart of a human being, it enters darkly, it enters falsely, it enters misunderstood. He is always seeking to twist the truth of God, certainly to twist the truth of God's word, but he is unable to do so in a person who has the Holy Spirit and who pays attention to and listens to and prays to and says, Holy Spirit, please help me to know the truth as I read the word that you inspired. The truth comes to us through the word, if you will, from the outside in. You open the book. This book is outside of me, of course. It's not inside of me. It's here. I'm reading it. And I'm bringing it in. And as I bring it in, then my prayer is through the Holy Spirit that He will bring the truth of God's Word to me and that I will not be led astray by the ways of evil, that I will not succumb to the darkness and how the darkness has chosen to interpret and to apply this Word. The Spirit does work from the outside in Scripture, for example, but He also works in terms of teaching us truth, very importantly, from the inside out. That within us, because He lives within us, the Holy Spirit, if you will, speaks to or is in touch with our human spirit and affects our human spirit in ways that we notice, that we can pay attention to, in ways that make a difference in our life. God, through His Holy Spirit, is at work within us. One of the ways, for example, that we can think of this is try to remember the first time, if you can, the first time that when you heard that you are a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for your sin, and by faith in Him, your sin can be forgiven, and you can have eternal life. When's the first time you heard that, and it was more to you than just simply an idea, more to you than a concept, more to you than a teaching that you kind of nodded and say, yes, that's what I'm supposed to believe, that's what I'm being taught. The first time that something within you responded to that. The first time that something within you said, I want this for me. Not just I'm going to agree with it because this is what my Sunday school teacher says or this is what my parents say or because, well, I better agree with it or else I might go to hell. But there's something within you, a desire within you. Perhaps even something that you might describe as a burning within you. Something within you that takes a hold of this teaching and makes it yours and makes it real, makes it true for you. Not just, oh, sure, that's true. That's what I'm supposed to believe. But this is true for me, that God so loved me the way that I am. Jesus died on a cross for me. And if I trust in Him, and I do, I just came to realize I do. It's more of a realization than a decision that you make. It's more an awareness that something has happened. You know, I was practically born into Sunday school. I mean, I grew up in the church. By the time I was 10 years old, I had heard about Jesus literally hundreds of times in Sunday school. But it was at age 10, as I was attending a Christian summer camp, and the speaker was talking about Jesus again, and I doubt he was saying anything different, you know, really, than what I'd been hearing for 10 years. But this time, something happened within me. This time, it wasn't a mental understanding that was changed, but it was a heart response. It was a heart reality. It was the Holy Spirit at work within me, God's choice at that time to touch my spirit so that this truth, which had always been kind of an external truth, an out there thing that the adults in my world were talking about and telling me that I should agree with, and I certainly did agree with. If anybody had asked me before that, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you? Well, of course I believe that. But now it was something within me, and it has been within me ever since that day. Still to this day, there are things that I can read in God's Word. There are hymns or Christian songs that when they're sung or played or I sing along with them in worship that touch me in ways that I know are just different than some kind of a mental assent. They're more than just I've been around this all my life, and yes, it makes sense. Yes, it makes sense. But it is true for me. The Holy Spirit brings the truth of God into our hearts. And it is one of the ways that we know that the Spirit of truth is within us because of the way that we find ourselves responding to that truth. responding in a way that is fundamentally different than we respond to anything else that we know or that we hear or that we see. You know, we agree with many things that go on in the world. There are many truths out there that are perfectly a part of God's world and that we believe in as being true in and of themselves. But that which touches us internally, that which makes a difference, that which makes us stand up and say, I want to be a different person because of this truth. I want to grow closer to God because of this truth. I want Jesus Christ to be more real to me because of this truth. See, Jesus became real to me there at age 10 in a way different than he had ever been before. And that's what the Holy Spirit is about. That's what it means in part for him to be the Spirit of truth, is to make Jesus real to us deeper and more profoundly than just simply an idea, than just simply a historical figure, than just simply someone about whom we know a lot of interesting and kind of unusual stories. To make Jesus real to us. That Jesus really is my advocate. That Jesus truly is my counselor, my helper, my comforter, my teacher. I don't just sit around going, oh, I wish I'd lived 2,000 years ago so I could be with Jesus. No, because of the Holy Spirit, indeed, I can be more than just be with Jesus as the disciples were with Jesus. I can have Jesus within. He can be working directly within me as I am open to him and as my will is joined to his will for me. It is the Holy Spirit within me who seeks to bring about what we have coined as the mission statement of our church, to know Christ, to become like Christ, to share Christ. To know him, to become like him, and then to share him with the world as he really is. Not simply stories about him, not simply ideas about him, not simply some kind of Christian religious mantra about him, but to share who he is for me within. The one I'm getting to know, the one I'm becoming more like, the one I want to share with others. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, it cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. I will send you another who is like me, so that I can be with you always, so that I can continue to teach and comfort and help and support and advocate for you. The Holy Spirit will be in you. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is Christ in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this expansive teaching that is recorded for us in the book of John about the Holy Spirit. And certainly there are many places in Scripture that teach on it, but here there's so much concentrated. And we just took a few verses and talked about them today. There's so much more, and we look forward to sharing more of that, Lord, in the weeks to come. But today, Father, we are grateful that you chose to send, through your Father, another one like yourself. The Holy Spirit is not another one who's totally different than you, another one who is just someone brand new that we have to get to know as if he had very little, if anything, to do with you. He's certainly not another one who comes kind of teaching his own thing or speaking his own way or doing things as he chooses. No, he is in continuity with you. And it is his ministry within each one of us to help us at deeper and deeper levels to know who you are, not in the abstract, but in the concrete and specific day-to-day relationship that we have with you. It's personal. It's individual. The Holy Spirit is available to everyone who by faith believes, but when he comes into our life, he works with us according to what we need, according to who we uniquely are. And for that, Lord, we are grateful. You become a personal Savior to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, a person who continues to live within us and continues to care for us and to love us and to guide us and to help us to become more and more what the Heavenly Father initially created us to be. The Holy Spirit is in the business of transformation to become more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.